You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres.
Hey, Travis. I heard you got your season tickets.
You did. And you know that for sure. Yes. You saw my Instagram.
I did.
Of course. Yes.
I follow you on IG.
Yeah. So. I'm not a big Instagrammer, but every once in a while, when I get a chance to take a picture of the Jumbotron, the new one, I do.
It is something.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to be right across from my season ticket. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
So we're a week away.
We are. One week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow, we are going to have real baseball.
Yes. And a reason to get an Uber
because
we have an event coming up.
Yeah,
too.
We have an event on that night, the opening day after party presented by the Kept Faith and Bay City Brewing down by the sports arena.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what time are you going to be there?
Well, after the game, right?
Well, not that early. It's going to start about 5:30, so we'll be down there.
So I got to figure out my thing because I was going to Uber to the game with my wife, watch the game, then Uber to the Bay City. I'm just going to Uber like I've never Ubered before.
Well, that sounds like a long night.
Yeah, find someone for the kids to watch. I've already taken the days off of work. I'm treating it as kind of like a vacation.
It is.
It's opening day for me. I'm very excited.
Yeah, we're going to have Bobby Cressy. He's going to be playing with a trio, and we're going to have giveaways and a food truck to represent for Padres Meat Twitter, which is taking over the internet. And
do we know the food truck?
I haven't.
Is there a name?
I don't think it's been revealed yet, but there's a Facebook invite. You can check it out on the Kept Faith or through Bay City. They're actually helping out a lot, and it's going to be a fun time. Come down and meet some of the other Padres podcasters. It'll be a fun community to engage with. So check it out. Dallas will be there. We'll have a raffle. There's going to be gifts. So
yeah,
it's going to be fun. We have a very special guest.
Yes.
Two-time guest of the podcast from the Union Tribune, the San Diego Union Tribune, Abby Hamlin.
Hello, San Diego.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome.
So yeah, you were on last year we broke down the brackets, and that was exciting. I don't even remember who won last year. Who won the tournament?
North Carolina.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they are already crushed.
Yeah, they are.
This year. So typical March Madness situation.
Yeah, that's my, that was my title team this year. So.
Oh, you picked them to go all the way?
Yeah, I picked them to go all
repeat?
The way. It didn't work. So.
Has anyone ever repeated back to back? Is that Duke maybe? I feel like that should have happened, but I can't remember a time that's happened.
I feel like Duke did. Or maybe
I want to say Florida did it.
Because I want to say that's a really bad idea, Nick, in this tournament to pick back-to-back, but I'm sure it's happened.
I think I read a stat the other day that said that it's like extremely rare for that to happen, and not only that, but most repeats or most number one or most winners don't make it past the Sweet 16. Some barely make it to the Elite Eight, and a lot of times they don't even make the tournament, so...
Yeah.
Probably not the best choice, but, you know, it was North Carolina.
Well, now there's not
a bad choice.
Now there's so much turnover that, I mean, the best players leave after 1 year, so it's really hard. I think it's just impossible to go back-to-back. But, yeah, Florida did it. They had people stay that probably could have gone to the pros, like Joakim Noah and Corey Brewer. That was a nice little group, I remember. But so, yeah.
It was.
My bracket's busted, I think. So,
As many bracket in America.
Yeah, what did you think of the big upset, the 16-1 upset?
I thought it was amazing.
That was awesome. Well,
especially because it wasn't close. They got beat down hard. Wasn't it 20 points or something?
It was a pretty impressive beat down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just shows you that like if a team just can shoot threes, they can win. Anybody can win.
On any given court.
And with a mascot as vicious as a retriever, I mean, everyone should have seen this coming.
Yeah. I said on Twitter, they look like the high school from Teen Wolf.
Yeah, totally.
Their uniform was completely the same.
Now, honestly, have you ever heard of this college before this tournament?
No.
Well, I hadn't either. I don't think anyone had ever heard of this college, right? Or university, University Maryland, Baltimore County.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Good for them, though, because now everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of that time, remember that school, Florida Gulf Coast?
Yes.
Yeah.
They started winning, and like, then all these pictures of their campus circulated on the internet, and everybody was like, why doesn't everybody go there?
Because it's amazing.
Loyola Chicago is another one that maybe you wouldn't have even heard of before or heard of it for basketball, and they are one of those beloved teams this year with their sweet chaplain, 90-year-old chaplain. Did you guys see her?
Yeah.
Sister Jean, I think her name is.
That's great.
She's like blessed the team, so that's a good pick too.
I heard on a podcast, the One Shining Moment One Shining podcast on The Ringer, they were talking about how she should write a piece for the Players Tribune. it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would read that.
So what's your process when you, on the first 2 days of the tournament, you're working at, I assume, or did you call in sick? Is that?
I would have loved to call in sick, and every year I think next year I'm going to call in sick. But no, luckily my team's pretty cool about putting basketball on the TV. Shout out to the Ideas team at the Union Tribune. Everybody over there loves basketball, and we've been having a lot of fun with it. But it's kind of fun when you're working and it's happening, because you can kind of have an app up or maybe on your desktop watching the scores. And then when it's 2 minutes left and you know the game's tight, everyone races over to the TV, and it's a lot of fun to watch those. You suddenly care about teams that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Or you're rooting passionately for Texas or, you know, some random upset that is bound to happen. And it's fun.
What's the Union Tribune's, like, lunchroom dynamics like? Or do the Ideas team, do they hang out with the sports side, or is there any?
Actually, the Opinion team is separate from the newsroom, which is pretty common for newspapers.
Right.
So we're two floors above the newsroom, which is kind of a bummer because I know there are some big sports fans down there too. But so we're just kind of in our own little unit, and we're just, you know, talking sports together.
Yeah, I'd love to just watch a game with Mark Ziegler or something like that.
Did
he go to Wichita?
He went. Okay. So that was a really crazy storyline for me, as being from Wichita, was the whole thing that San Diego State played in Wichita. Mm-hmm. This is Wichita, Kansas we're talking about. And Wichita State played in San Diego.
Right.
And neither really had good turnout, sadly enough. But they both played their best. I wish San Diego State would have had a better outcome.
Yeah.
Poor Aztecs.
Well, yeah, your Kansas State took out that pesky team that took out Virginia, so that's good.
Yeah, I think that, you know, all of America was rooting for UMBC at that point, and you could feel it. Even the people who were there for the previous game stayed in the arena to root on the Retrievers against Kansas State. But guess what, people? We beat you.
That's right. You know, I will say I've been downtown for several of the Kansas State, and just around town, like for several of the Kansas State Holiday Bowls where they've traveled, and they're a fun group. They come downtown and they party, they drink hard.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, they. I actually came out here for a Holiday Bowl when I was a kid,
okay.
And I remember going to the parade right there on Harbor Drive.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, it blows my mind that I live here now, but. Yeah, now we face Kentucky, which is not going to be the most fun matchup, but I think we'll have some surprises for people.
Yeah. Kentucky, nobody wants Kentucky. I don't know.
That whole region is a mess anyway, so it's anybody's game over there with Virginia down, Arizona down, Cincinnati down.
Yeah. I think it's better for Padres fans if Kentucky gets bounced, because Andy Green's a big Kentucky guy, and he needs to focus.
Oh, right.
He needs to focus on the first weekend of the game.
Yeah, who did he make a bet with?
Great point.
So he made a bet with one of the guys in spring training, and so instead of the Padres hat, he had to wear the Kentucky hat around.
That's his team. They're so hardcore about it, which is insane.
Yes.
Of the teams that are left, does anybody have any predictions, or you like Duke? I think Duke is probably going to take it.
I picked Duke to win this year.
Yeah.
I know everyone hates Duke, so no one likes to pick them, but that's one of the reasons I picked them. I think that this tournament has shown that no one knows how to defeat a zone defense anymore.
Right.
Now that it's three-pointers and just long balls in honor of Steph Curry, the trend that he's set for everybody, and how the NBA is these days, I think that Duke kind of stole the zone from other people, and they're totally dominating with it, and then their offense is incredible too. So I think Villanova is a good safe bet, and Duke's a safe bet. So I'm picking Duke to upset. Nobody wants that, but I'm willing to be a villain.
Yeah, Coach K, I don't think I like Coach K. I'm done. I think I did at one point, but he's just...
What turned you off, Nick?
Go to the pros. You've already done everything down here. I mean, at least try to coach an NBA team.
Well, I was going to try to make some comparisons to, you know, Belichick or whatever, because he's kind of has a pretty gnarly legacy there, but he hasn't taken it to the next level, so there's no comparison.
Well, his thing is that he coaches the Olympic team, so that's his experience.
That's his professional, which is the World Olympics wasn't supposed to be, but anyways, that's
another
topic.
So much about, like, what's these rules violations in college basketball, players getting paid and everything, but, like, why should he be allowed to coach the Olympic team if that's like a free recruiting angle for him?
Oh.
You know?
I didn't even think about that.
I don't like his face. I just don't.
Yeah.
So after San Diego State got bounced. San Diego State got bounced. And
in a good game, though.
Yeah.
I mean, even my dad, who doesn't pay attention, he was a SDSU alumni.
Yeah.
So he only pays attention in cases like this. He's a theater guy. He goes like, "That was a great game. It was really exciting." But they, you know.
Yeah.
So it touches everyone when they go.
Well, the San Diego State wasn't really – I mean, they had a rough year all year, but they snuck in the tournament. They lost to Houston, and after the game, they came back from Wichita, and they're arguably their best player, Jalen McDaniels, has declared for the NBA draft after 1 year. Now, I went to a couple games this year, and he stands out. He's definitely extremely talented. He's 6'10". He's really bouncy. He can – pretty much do anything he wants on the basketball court at this level, but he's so skinny.
He hasn't filled out yet.
Yeah, he needs like another. I would say he would need another year, but you know, he's going into the NBA draft and he's not getting an agent, so he's basically going. They've changed the rules this year where they're not. If you declare and you don't sign an agent, you can go to the combine and be evaluated by the pros. And he's said on the record basically that like. He just wants to go and work out with the NBA and get some feedback. He could be back. Yeah.
I think that's a great – I hated the way that college and the NBA had that set up where it was like, if I say I want to go play in the NBA, then your college career has been like guillotine. It's like, why? Like, let me go see what happens and I can come back.
Yeah, the whole thing was like if you signed with an agent, your amateur's status was taken away. But I think it's good for these guys to go and get real feedback. And I hope the pros take it seriously where they're like –
Yeah,
you need another year. He needs to just be in the weight room. You know?
Yeah, but like if you're going to school for business and you want to get a summer internship and then the company's like, this guy's great. We're going to give you the job you wanted after school. Like there's nothing wrong with not finishing school and going and taking the job. Or if it doesn't work out, I should be able to go back to school. And the school to have that kind of like power over someone, it's just so bizarre. So I'm glad they're loosening that up so they can come back if he needs
to. Well, there's been a lot of talk recently with Adam Silver basically – he's reevaluating the one and done rule. How do you feel about that, Abby? Like you follow college basketball pretty closely and it has been a shift since they've switched to that rule.
Yeah. So I used to be kind of like you and, you know, just think that this aspect of the game was ruining college basketball. And I remember that year with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins and all those guys at Kentucky.
Right.
And ever since then, it's just been like a waterfall of more and more players doing this. But at the same time, how many players do you see who declare and then go, and they absolutely had no business doing that. I think that this is a good way to weed out those people and send them back to college when they don't belong in the NBA.
Back to college.
And maybe humble them to say, look, you really need to go back. Or the people who belong get pulled in. And I've kind of come around to this, and I even think maybe we should do away with the 1 year at this point. I never would have thought I would say that. But when you see the Kyrie Irvings and the Kevin Loves and Kevin Durant and these people who they might as well have just gone to begin with, it has kind of turned me around on this. And I think that only a few players would end up going anyway. And as we've seen from this tournament, I mean, some of the teams with no superstars are playing the best basketball.
Yes.
So I don't think it would totally... Yeah. You know, ruin college basketball to go back to letting players leave from high school. I mean, Trae Young at Oklahoma is a perfect example. Did Oklahoma have any business necessarily being in the NCAA tournament? You could argue it either way, but without Trae Young, they definitely wouldn't have been. And then they blew it right away. He played the best game ever. Why couldn't he have just gone to the NBA?
Right.
Yeah.
So I like the way that McDaniels is doing it. I think Coach Dutcher also seems to be supportive. He made a great point that it shows that San Diego State Aztecs are looking good to the NBA.
Yeah, no.
You know, that's... Kawhi, and then now. So.
Yeah, Kawhi's about to get.
If the coaches are on board and if he is doing it in a smart way, you know, it seems like San Diego's trying to be supportive of it as much as we would all love him to come back. Yeah.
Well, Jalen McDaniels is a redshirt freshman, so he's been on campus.
That's true.
He's been on campus for a year and a half, essentially.
So right.
There were, I mean, I think what we all want to avoid is the guys who they come in, they do one semester, they do the tournament, and then they're just getting ready for the draft. And that's not like, that's not a real college player. That's not a real college athlete, right?
But I just feel, but here's the thing, in any other, other thing in life, you want to take as many avenues as you can, especially at that age. Like, mm-hmm. I remember being at that age and I'm like, I don't know what I want to do in life yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to go hard at every single thing. The only reason colleges want to punish students for that and control them is a financial thing for the college. In any other thing, they don't do that with their theater kids. They don't do that with their science kids. They don't do that with any other thing except athletics, because they know it's a revenue generator and it's not, has nothing to do with the best interest of the human being. It has to do with the best interest of the university.
Yeah.
And I think the university should be open to, like, hey, student, athlete, whatever, how can we help you further that, not put our arms around you and hold on to you for 4 years because we love you and you're going to get a better experience about it. I'm sorry, but the guys playing in the NBA, they can come out later and get educated if that's really what this is about. And they do. Of course they do.
Yeah.
So I, to me, it's totally bizarre. If you're at the prime of your life when you're 18, you should be able to go straight to the NBA, play your career, go back to college afterwards, or do whatever you want afterwards. Yeah. I don't know. It just is such a... Yeah. It's a disingenuous argument when it's about the betterment of the human, because it's not.
I was talking to a friend about this. My friend Dylan Lyson, who's a huge KU fan, I was going back and forth with him on this today, and he actually described it as, he said he felt like it was unconstitutional to keep these guys in college when, you know, why should they be forced to do something they don't want to do and do something that harms their possible NBA career, which we've all seen the ones who have thought they should go and then they get injured and maybe they should have developed more, which is, again, the point with Jalen McDaniels. Maybe he's going to play that middle ground. But I don't know. I go back and forth all the time on this. I like what you say, and then other times I'm like,
well, the unconstitutional,
there's something good about going to college for a while.
It's hard to say it's unconstitutional because these aren't
he was just really passionate.
No, I know.
No, these are private things that are allowed to make up their own rules. I totally think that the institutions should be allowed to do what they want. But if we're talking about the betterment of the person, this is not what we're talking about.
That's leaving it as is, the one and done.
Yeah, it's just not for the betterment of the person. And I am an educator. Like, I do teach. I have taught at universities before. Mm-hmm. I'm big on education. But education shouldn't be this little package of 4 years and, like, you get to do it when you're this age and this age, and that's the only time you can learn. Like, different people have different phases of life when they can excel at things, and to hamper that for the sake of an institution is not, in my opinion, the right way to look at it. We should do what's best for the person.
But it's important to note that, like, the reason why the rule is there because it was collectively bargained by the union.
Right, by the players,
the union went along with it, and so did the NFL with the
That's what I'm saying, but it's all institutional money.
Yeah.
That's the concern, not the player.
But they got it all. The owners wanted more developed players when they got to the league, so they gave the players something else to get that. I don't know. It's really a complicated.
But it's bad marketing by the NBA to me.
But, you know, Bill Simmons is
we
talking
love
about
the story of high school kids coming up. The more that would happen.
The Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Bill Simmons,
LeBron James.
He's always talked about having, like, a committee that just looks at each player and says, you're okay to go straight from high school. Like, mm-hmm. Ben Simmons has no business being in college basketball like he did last year. I mean, what was that? LeBron James wouldn't have helped his game to play against college athletes because he was already a pro basically when he was 17.
And a giant.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's the other thought is that they just move it to 2 years. Then you have the players are forced to be academically responsible for like three semesters, and that might weed out people. I don't know. The academics thing makes it really complicated with this issue.
I think you raise an interesting point too, which I haven't thought of it in this way before, but so much of education is going more towards like trade schools.
Yeah, and online.
Encouraging kids to go specific professional routes. So wouldn't that be the same thing as basketball?
Yes, and education does not have to happen. I love SDSU and this the buildings, but it doesn't have to happen in those buildings. And if universities are going to hold on to this like archaic structure and not get on with how the world's progressing, like there's no reason you can't be working on your doctorate and then going to practice and going shooting at night and then going. I mean, it's up to the individual, and forcing people into this mold is just so weird in the day and age we live in. But
well, Adam Silver is also talking about, he's looking at like the European soccer model where, you know, the best kids get separated and they go to these academies, and the teams are all involved with their development.
Totally.
They're 15. So they're not having, they're getting educated like in a high school setting, but it's also, it's almost like those tennis academies where they play all day and then they have their own education system. But
that seems like it's essentially what AAU is too. And these prep schools too, if they just were maybe more organized, I could see how that would work.
Well, yeah, that now in the United States now, it's like, the best players do AAU. They go to these Nike camps. They're getting separated and people are focusing on them. And then they're supposed to just forget about all that and go straight into the college system where they're not supposed to be taking any money. They're not supposed to be.
Right.
And if they do, they get demonized if they take money. It's just, the system is clearly broken. We all love the tournament, and that's the rub, I guess.
So we've all come to a place where we have no clue what we really think about this.
I still want to watch 16 games in a day on a Thursday.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so great.
But yeah.
Well, and games there are the superstars that you do get to have a lot of fun watching in college basketball. And like, not that a Grayson Allen would be somebody that's going to the NBA, but how much fun, more fun does it make college basketball to have that guy to root against for four straight years?
I know. Yeah. What if his last college game is the winning the national title?
This is why I'm on board for Duke this year, because I think that a lot of people hate that guy. America is so divided right now. We need a mutual enemy. You know, everyone can come together to root against Duke in the national championship, and maybe they'll win. Maybe Grayson Allen will hit the game winner and become the new Christian Laettner, and everyone will just hate him. And
yeah.
It's meant to be, guys. America, this tournament is nuts. Duke is going to be the ultimate cherry on top.
America deserves an exceptional white Duke player to hate, I think. Yeah. That's what we all want.
We deserve a villain we can all rally around,
right?
Right?
I mean,
my age group was J.J. Redick. He's my Duke player that everybody hates. Who's actually got a great podcast now. But
yeah.
So... Well, yeah, we'll be following the tournament, and check out Abby on Twitter. She's you've been tweeting about it pretty much.
I've been tweeting a little too much about Kansas State, so if you don't care about that, but I'm on top of all of this. I really enjoyed, again, San Diego State's game was one of the best, I thought.
Yeah, that was a great game. That man bun. Can we talk about the man bun for a second?
Oh.
Jeez, that kid was good, too.
Yeah.
That kid was real good.
It was like a growing frustration of, who is this guy? And then, this guy's pretty good. And then,
he hit the shot,
I hate
right?
you.
I forgot, yeah.
He
was on the line every 2 minutes. He was just shooting free throws.
Twitter was going nuts against him, too. It was like, again, San Diego had a mutual enemy to all come together against. Right. So I'm telling you, it works.
All right. Well, we'll be rooting for Kansas State.
Thanks. That's
the official team of this podcast now. So.
Perfect.
All right. Well, before we're going to call Dallas McLaughlin, who wrote a piece on the Kept Faith about the machine called Rage Against the Machine. And Abby, I don't think I directly asked you to listen to the machine to get your take on it, but you did, and I'm sorry for that. But we're going to call Dallas and talk about it because it's one of the more unique sports stories in town that everybody seems to have an opinion on. let's talk to Dallas and let's make it rock. Hello, Dallas from Temecula. You're talking to the Kept Faith.
Please don't get out of my location.
Okay, sorry. You're on the line with Abby Hamlin from the UT.
Hello.
Hi, first time, long time.
So, Abby was nice enough to listen to the machine for us, kind of. And Travis and I feel bad about it.
Very.
You wrote a piece. You wrote a piece this week that people responded to.
Yeah.
How are you doing with it? How are you doing with the machine?
Well, I've only listened for a combined 5 minutes, and I listened because I felt like I should if I was going to write about it, and I did, and that was enough, and now I never have to listen again.
That was pretty much my same experience.
Yeah, so Abby, you listened to the men's room today.
Yes, I did.
Wow. And
did you feel welcomed to the men's room?
Well, that's exactly what it is. I was driving a quick 20-minute trip, and I thought, I'm going to listen to this. I'm going on the podcast tonight. I want to check in. And it was, I mean, that's all there is to say about it. I don't like hearing something that's like, welcome to the men's room. I'm a woman. I mean, what more is there to say about that? And
well, it's upsetting that you were listening at all, Abby, because you're not welcome.
It did feel that way, honestly.
Yeah. What did it feel like to be behind the curtain?
Well, the topics, I tuned in just in time to hear a segment where they read off men's complaints about their girlfriends. So, again.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, and that was, I've only listened to it one time. I usually listen to XM or CNN or something like that, and I tuned in for 10 minutes and I heard bad words that I don't want to say on this podcast and bad things about women, and it was exactly what I would expect, sadly enough, from the mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot that I wrote in that thing that I posted on the cafe that I sat down about five times to try to write that piece, and the reason why is because there were so many different things I wanted to include, and some of them I took out just for longevity reason, and some just didn't fit into what I was trying to say. But one of the things I took out is that radio in general, you know, is the behind the scenes of radio is a very male dominated industry, and you know, it, to the point where when I started in radio, you know, the C word was, you know, tossed around the hallways of Star 100.7 at a volume that I did not know was allowed. But it seemed second nature and second hand to these people. So, you know, it is already at its base, you know, a male, you know, driven industry. And they think that men are the only ones listening to the radio and those are the only ones they need to worry about. And so for them to double down on this kind of narrative, given what's happening around us, is just astounding to me. And I know we talked about it a little bit last week, but my biggest complaint, like I wrote in the articles, I don't care about the radio station. I don't listen to the radio. I barely ever listen to the radio. And if you saw the recent ratings that came out, almost no one listens to the radio. But now I have to, this is where the Padres are. Like, it wouldn't affect me at all, but this is now where the Padres are. And now what am I supposed to do, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of people are struggling with that. It's like, can you separate being a fan of the baseball team when they've made this decision? I understand why people are not going to listen to the games on the radio or maybe have a real problem rooting for them this season. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, if Kansas State was doing this, like...
Well, I like to tune into the Padres, of course.
I know.
The thought of what I heard today playing right before or after a Padres game really bums me out.
Yeah, I don't think you're not alone. I mean, there's female Padres fans all over the town that are starting to speak up about it. It's
well, and it's becoming a thing. My daughter's at 5 years old right now, and it's just the time where she knows she likes to go to games with Daddy, and I always have it on the radio, and I have to even pay attention to NPR now because she's in the car and she hears stuff. And like my favorite thing, Padres pregame and stuff, it's not going to be a thing anymore. I'm not going to listen to the game that way. I will do it through my MLB app or whatever. But it's just kind of like the radio Padres have just died to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Trav, did you listen to the app last year?
I've listened to 94.9 as much as I could because in where I live, the signal was pretty good. I was just bummed that it was like 15 minutes before the game, hey, the Padre game's coming on, and then it's over, guys. Good night. That's yeah. what was also a bummer. But, no, I listen to the radio broadcast a lot. The app, you know, is always problematic. It drains your phone. So if the radio was there and I could get it, that would be my preferable choice. You just feel like you're part of the community, like everyone's tuning into the same airwaves kind of thing.
I think it's the overall tone of, look, we're just trying to have a good time. And you know what will bring that down? Women. And that's like, that's what it feels like.
Or dressed women.
Hey, nothing's going to bum us out like women nagging us. That's what it sounds like in the men's room. I've listened to a little bit of it, and it's jarring. I don't want, you know.
Well, that's what's so confusing to me about the whole, and I call it an experiment because I can't imagine that it lasts. But what boggles my mind is that, you know, the 5 minutes I chose to listen to was Dan Cilio talking to a woman, and I don't know, I didn't catch her name because it was at a part of the interview where that wouldn't have naturally been mentioned. But she was a someone who was following and reporting on the whole sexual assault case with the Olympic athletes. And Larry Nasser, or Nasser, I forget what his name is, I apologize. But they were talking about that, and Cilio was actually like doing a very good job navigating through this conversation. He was speaking as a father of daughters and how he would feel, and I was like, okay, like if this is the kind of guy talk you're talking about, like they're going to sprinkle in, I can understand that, I get behind it. And I was like, this is an interesting interview, it's very important to talk about, I'm impressed that they're even talking about it. And then literally, I get out of my car, I get a coffee, I get back in, and I get a notification on Twitter, and it's that dildo joke they tweeted out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that this radio station did. And I'm like, okay, so you clearly don't know what you want to be, but you're trying to be both. And unfortunately, you can't anymore. That's not the nature of our culture anymore. You don't get to be the dildo joke and sensitive to the Me Too movement. Like, you just don't get to do it anymore. And, like, And he probably should have never been allowed to anyways. But the fact that they're trying to do that and the fact that they think someone thought that was okay, that dildo joke, and that they should pursue that kind of entertainment and that kind of engagement, when clearly you look at their Twitter account, Cilio, the radio station's account, even Padres Radio's Twitter's account, I mean, they have very few followers for the level of entertainment they are. They have very little engagement. The engagement that they do have are from, like I said in the article, guys who look like retired PE coaches. It's like 50-year-old guys who are upset that brown people are in their neighborhood. I mean, that's the people they have engaging with them on Twitter, and that's who they're going for. And it's just so weird to me that they're pushing for this audience, and it's weird to me that the Padres would just be okay with that. And I don't know if they have a choice. That's the other thing, because, like, do they have a clause? Does Intercom have a clause in that contract where it says we can put you wherever we want to put you? You know what I mean? Because that might be a real thing, and I don't know. And I don't even know if the Padres or Intercom would ever release a statement to say one way or another, because they won't want to damage that relationship. But that's the other thing that bothers me, is that women, you know, have slowly started to come out speaking out against this radio station and this idea. And we're one of the few blogs, websites, podcasts, whatever, that is actively speaking out against this idea. And I feel like there's still this kind of narrative amongst the podcast community, amongst the bloggers, where they want to be, they still want the access, they still want the door in with the machine, because maybe one day they'll get to be on the machine. And this isn't an insult to them at all, but I feel like there's still people who want the olive branch there, and so they won't say anything negatively because they don't want that taken away. Whereas my sentiment is, you know what? I'd rather be speaking out against this and saying this is wrong, this shouldn't be allowed, than ever to have access to that radio station. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think the truth is, like, the Padres radio product just isn't valuable, you know? Yeah, it's like nobody wants it. 1090 didn't really want it. And I think this just all ends where, if you want to listen to the radio broadcast, you have to get the app, and that's just it. I think that's where we're going. But
Well, and the Padres haven't said anything that I can find, at least, since this switch over, right? So any of the reaction, nothing on Twitter yet, nothing. And yet I'm wondering if once this actually opening day happens and people really listen, I just think maybe the critical mass hasn't started listening because they don't care about it until the Padre games.
Yeah.
And when, you know, whoever doesn't would never listen to the machine starts listening because they know that's the new Padres station and they have the kids in the back. If the Padres are going to have an issue on their hands that they're not anticipating.
This is something that's gone to a national level, though, with the Barstool Sports. I haven't really engaged with it that much. I know, Abby, you've had some thoughts on that. It's one of the more popular entertainment companies for sports, and I don't know.
I kind of got into a Twitter back and forth with the Pardon My Take crew, which I know there's a lot of people who love that podcast out there, so that's totally fine. You know, it's beloved. It's one of the highest rated podcasts. But this is my perspective on anything like this. I was looking for a podcast that covered all sports. You know, there's a lot of sports for just college basketball. There's a lot of sports for the NBA. There's a lot of podcasts that are just baseball. And Pardon My Take was one of the highest rated ones that were all the different sports. And I loved the humor for a little while. I liked the segments. They were funny. They seemed funny to me. And then after a while, they claim to have this ironic persona that is leaning into kind of what I think is what the machine is doing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, and kind of what you guys did as a joke, you know, it's the whole thing where you say the cliche.
Are you talking about the Grindr?
Yeah.
We have no affiliation with the Grindr.
Okay.
Yeah.
I blocked.
What I heard on there.
We put that out of.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, we dropped it as soon as we could.
Okay.
Dallas
does
too.
So when you lean into the cliches, I never find that funny. I don't find that clever. You know, that's kind of what they do. They say the stuff that's like, oh, you know, get the woman back to the kitchen. Those things that are like, it's not even creative. Like, if you make a funny joke, that's funny. That's awesome.
If you keep hitting that joke.
But they hit those same things. Yeah. And, one of the things that really ticked me off that they said was something like, actually, I don't even want to repeat it on here. But, I mean, just the assumptions that girls don't like sports and, you know, women aren't interested. And it's bad enough. It's hard enough to be a woman who likes sports. You know, we don't need. And this is the same opinion I have about this Padres thing. I don't know a ton about it. I'm just kind of new to all of this. But, like, can't men just want to listen to the Padres without having to also listen to the men's room? Like, why do they have to lean into the cliches of being a man and being in the locker room and all of that? Can't women also just want to listen to the Padres and listen to sports talk? It's, like, the same thing. Why do you have to lean into the cliche of one or the other, like, oh, this is for men, or oh, women, you know,
why does it have to be sexual?
Can't people just love sports and just love the Padres and love comedy? Like, does it have to be so? It's just unnecessary to me, and I get it. There's tons of people that love Pardon My Take, so shout out to you guys and girls.
Do they have a name of, like, the Barstool fans? Is that...
I don't know. There's tons of them though, because they were all in my mentions shortly afterward, and it was
My take, like the Barstool guys, like when I look at Barstool and what they're doing and I look at the machine, like what I look at all that stuff and it's basically like Chet from Weird Science figured out how to use Twitter. You know what I mean?
Love it. Like once he's turned into like the pizza monster.
All the jocks that we hated, you know, that were basically controlling sports radio when I was a kid. Like the reason most of us started podcasts and reason like went to the blogs is because we weren't being represented on the radio. It was a bunch of jocks, it was a bunch of, you know, drunk uncles saying stupid stuff. And we actually wanted information, we wanted analysis. And so a lot of us went and figured out how to get it on our own. And then like that's been kind of the culture forever. And now, like in the last 2 years or so, these guys like Barstool and, you know, radio guys who have, you know, classic old radio guys who are now moving into the internet realm. They're bringing that culture that it was always there. Like I said, mm-hmm. This is 2002 when I was working at Star and horrible things were being said to women across the hall. Like that was, you know, however long ago, like 15 years ago, that was still happening. They're bringing that culture into the podcast arena and there's going to be guys, there's going to be jocks, and there's going to be dudes who think that this is, oh yeah, dude, this is guys talk, this is awesome. And so there is a market for it, and there's I think Barstool is half and half. I think Barstool recognizes that it's a joke and that it's stupid, and but they still want to cash in on it. And then I think that their followers, though, aren't that way. I think their followers are legitimately like, yeah, man, women suck. Yeah. And they're all about it. You know, like,
right.
It's preying on those things. And that's what bothers me is it's like this world where we kind of, like a lot of those podcasters and bloggers, blah, 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 kind of created this world that was almost like a safe space for snowflakes, you know, where we could all, we could all just give our analysis and our hot takes on, you know, advanced stats and be left alone, where like now it's being overtaken and it is what it is. And now there's kind of, but it's being overtaken and it's basically like Barstool's coming into an NPR world and people have to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen? And this machine thing is just like, hey, we know that, you know, people are really respecting all cultures and women, but what if we didn't do any of that? You know, we just went back to being horrible people. And I don't know if there's a market for it, and it, but to me it just sucks. It's just like, I thought we were moving forward. I thought we were getting to a place where we could actually just keep going and having, you know, deep conversations about outfield projections and launch angle. And now we have to take a step back and be like, hey, can you stop calling women the C word? Like, can you not put a dildo picture out on the internet? Can you not do that? Like,
I can't believe that happened. That's,
yeah,
it was, I missed like, that one. But
it was a balloon animal tied. I think that's what. Maybe there was another one, Dallas. You're talking about. I don't know.
It was a balloon animal. That was because yeah. Even a guy commented on that balloon animal tweet and said, "This is horrible marketing." And then the machine tweeted at him and said, "Phallic symbols are great marketing. What are you talking about?" And I'm like, okay, so you're doubling down on this even.
It just feels like to me that the Padres' involvement with Intercom and the machine, it's. Those people behind that, like Dan Cilio, Mike D works for them, Intercom, they're all kind of NFL guys. And they decided, well, the Padres radio isn't really working. Why don't we take some of that NFL intensity and masculinity and try to be something that we're not? That's what it feels like to me. Like the Padres are not this, and they're trying to be this. And that's why really upsetting. Besides the actual content, it's just it doesn't feel genuine to me.
One of the things I left out of the article because it trailed off into a whole nother place. But I think like you look at the Dave and Jeff podcast, and we've had Dave and Jeff on the show, and you know they were very sweet to us, and obviously they're old radio pros. You know, Dave's an old pro himself, and they've had a long career in radio. And their podcast is like an interesting hybrid to me of classic sports radio where they kind of, you know, they do their guy thing and they, you know, they do their chummy, like, you know, Jocko kind of stuff, which is fine. But then they also talk very openly about their relationships, about their issues, about their manhood. Like, they talk a lot about stuff. And I think it's an interesting hybrid. I think that they've been able to kind of navigate saying like, hey, we are this kind of a, like, we're still this jock kind of radio thing, and maybe they're not, maybe that's just what they've always known, but they still have that mentality, but they've been opening up and being a lot more vulnerable with listeners, and I think people really respond to that. And I think that's a good narrative to have. You can kind of be both ways, whereas, you know, the machine is, the machine, there's no vulnerability, it's all masculinity, it's all, you know, Coors Light commercials, it's, you know, it's nonstop. And so I think there are people maybe trying to make that hybrid happen, and it's interesting to see. But I mean, and then at the same time, like, you know, Jeff name called me on his podcast, and I want to punch him in the face, but I'll put up with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. We're fine.
Everything's fine.
Well, yeah, we're going to see how it goes next week. So you'll be down there at Bay City, right, Dallas?
Yeah, dude. Bay City Brewing, March 29th.
That's tight.
We're opening a hang. Bobby Cressy and his trio are going to be playing. Doors are at 5:30. And they're going to have a food truck. They just announced a food truck. There's a Facebook invite that Kept Faith has that we put out, that Bay City put out, that has all the information on it. But, yeah, I think Dave and Jeff are going to try to be there. They said they'll be there. And 5.5, us, East Village Times, Zero Chance Podcast.
Cool.
Going to be a really good time. And, I'm excited about it, man. I feel like it's a good thing. And in the world of the machine, I feel like it's a good thing to have some people just hanging out, being friendly.
Now, before we recorded, Abby told me that she has friends that are Royals fans that were that are sad to see Hosmer go. It's going to be his first game as a Padre. What has been the reaction totally?
I think obviously people in Kansas City are, you know, they hold on dearly to the 2015 Royals. Mm-hmm. Any fan of any team would, especially when they had a lot of rough years there.
We don't know about holding on to anything. We don't have
not
that experience.
Not here in San Diego. Yeah.
We're on our second tour of Chase Headley, so that's...
There you go.
I thought about this coming in, about what we were talking about last year about the Padres when I came in, and we were going on and on and on about Jabari Blash, which
that's
just
right.
goes to
how
show
far
you.
We've come.
Yes.
It was the Blash tags and all the
Blash wagon.
So, you know,
love you,
I don't...
Jabari.
We miss you, Jabari.
He listens. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I think he's missed, but that's a good thing for San Diego because he's so well liked, and as everyone on Padres Twitter and beyond has already found out and been discussing.
He's blashtastic.
Cool. Well, you can follow Abby Hamlin on Twitter at Abby Hamlin, and go Kansas State.
That's right. All right. Go Wildcats.
You got anything else, Dallas, to plug or?
No. Just March 29th, live hang. Come on out. We're going to have a giveaway. Did we announce a giveaway yet?
Yeah, we did. I did. I told them. But yeah, we are.
Okay. Giveaway. And then also we'll have our raffle too with the proceeds going to the Padres Foundation. So bring a couple bucks so you can put it on the raffle. And I'm excited. And I'm excited for the season. Hosmer, he's going to hit 15 home runs this year. I'm excited.
They're going to all count. They're all going to count.
They're all going to count.
Yeah, I'll be selling shirts too. So
perfect.
Yeah, we'll have Kent State T-shirts. We had our when we had our fantasy draft this weekend. We gave some guys like the Kent State T-shirts, and man, we got a lot of compliments. And these were friends; they didn't have to say anything nice, and they still did.
Yeah, he was a contributor that we gave it to. So, yeah.
Nick, you don't.
We're not giving these away for free. Is what Nick's trying to say.
Yeah, we're I mean, we got Daddy's got to eat.
Yeah.
Just kidding. All right. Well, we'll see you next Thursday. Good night.
The Padres are
ball busters.
Well, head deep right at the fence. It is going in.
Right center field, way back there, near, going, it's gone.
Great play, off balance, throw to first. They got him. The sensational play by Alan Wiggins.
2-0. High fly ball, well hit right field, look out. Maldonado at the wall, Terry Kennedy, home run.
Drive to deep right field. If it's fair, the Padres will have the lead. It is a fair ball.
Going back is Reynolds, and it's...
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego podcast network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's ERIN@VOSD.org.